From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. President Obama is praising the Senate for approving his nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. The vote was 68-31. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
This was the president's first chance to select a Supreme Court justice. Speaking shortly after the Senate vote, he described himself as pleased and deeply gratified. He said the past 10 weeks since Sotomayor's nomination demonstrated her ability to apply the law to the facts at hand and her determination to protect core constitutional rights.
With this historic vote, the Senate has affirmed that Judge Sotomayor has the intellect, the temperament, the history, the integrity, and the independence of mind to ably serve on our nation's highest court.
The president called it a wonderful day for Judge Sotomayor's family, but also for America. She will be sworn in at the Supreme Court on Saturday, making her the nation's 111th Supreme Court justice. Don Gagne, NPR News, The White House.
A federal jury says former Democratic Congressman William Jefferson must give up nearly $500,000 he received through corrupt business deals. NPR's Peter Overby has more.
The money is in two bank accounts. One belongs to a corporation called ANJ. Those are the initials of Jefferson's wife, who ostensibly ran the firm. The other company, BEP Consulting, was headed by Jefferson's brother, Mose. Neither company appeared to do anything, and that's the heart of the case against Jefferson. Entrepreneurs would seek him out to promote their business deals in Africa. He would say he'd help if they steered money to the companies. Jefferson represented New Orleans in Congress for 18 years. He was arrested 4 years ago after an FBI videotape captured him taking $100,000 from an informant. Most of the cash then turned up in his home freezer. He was voted out of office last fall. The charges he's been convicted on carry cumulative sentences of 150 years. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
For the first time in 13 years, the leaders of Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo are seeking stronger diplomatic and economic ties. The BBC's Peter Gressler reports from Nairobi.
Right up until late last year, Rwanda had been accused of using proxies to defend its interests in eastern Congo and of fueling the war that's killed upwards of more than 2 million people. So Thursday's meeting between the two leaders was a significant step forward. President Paul Kagame crossed from Rwanda into the Congolese border town of Goma for a three-hour meeting with his counterpart Joseph Kabila. The two men discussed improving security along the frontier, as well as ways of improving regional trade. But it was President Kagame's promise to never again be a destabilizing influence inside the Congo that was most significant.
The BBC's Peter Gressler in Nairobi. This is NPR News. U.S. and Pakistan intelligence officials are investigating reports the Pakistani Taliban leader Baitullah Masood may have been killed in a missile strike 2 days ago. A Pakistan official says the reports are based on intercepts of phone and other communications. Masood's wife was among three people killed in the attack in South Waziristan, but the rebel leader's whereabouts were unknown. The United States has offered a $5 million reward for information leading to the capture of Masood. John Hughes, the writer and director of several hit movies during the 1980s and 90s, suffered a fatal heart attack Thursday. He was 59. As NPR's David Shaper reports, Hughes put Chicago on the movie-making map.
John Hughes was born in Lansing, Michigan, and later moved to Chicago's northern suburbs, and he used Chicago and the suburbs he grew up in as more than just a backdrop for his films. In some cases, they were a supporting character. A case in point is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the 1986 classic starring Matthew Broderick as a popular high school student who ditches school. The movie features Bueller and friends at a baseball game at Wrigley Field, taking part in a downtown Chicago parade, and viewing famous paintings at the Art Institute. Hughes set 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Uncle Buck, Vacation, Home Alone, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, among others, all or at least in part in and around Chicago. Among the Chicago actors whose careers were launched in Hughes' films are John and Joan Cusack. John Hughes was 59. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials fell 24 points, closing at 92.56. The Nasdaq fell 19. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News, from Washington.